नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। शुश्रुषो शब्दधानस्य वासुदेव कतारुचिः, श्यान्महत्सेवया विप्राः, पुण्यतीर्थ निषेवनात्। O twice born sages, by serving those devotees who are completely freed from all vice, great service is done. By such service, one gains affinity for hearing the messages of Vasudeva.
Shrinvatam svakatah krishnah punyashravana kirtanah hridayantastohya bhadrani vidunoti suhritsatam.
Shri Krishna, the personality of Godhead, who is the Paramatma, super soul in everyone's heart and the benefactor of the truthful devotee, cleanses desire for material enjoyment from the heart of the devotee who has developed the urge to hear his messages, which are in themselves virtuous when properly heard and chanted.
Nashta prayeshva bhadreshu nityam bhagavata sevaya bhagavati uttama shloke Bhaktir Bhavati Naishtiki.
By regular attendance in classes on the Bhagavatam and by rendering of service to the pure devotee, all that is troublesome to the heart is almost completely destroyed, and loving service unto the personality of Godhead, who is praised with transcendental songs, is established as an irrevocable fact.
तदा रजस्तमो भावाः कामलोबादयश्च ये चेत एतैर् अनाविद्धं सितं सत्वे प्रसीदति.
As soon as irrevocable loving service is established in the heart, the effects of nature's modes of passion and ignorance, such as lust, desire and hankering, disappear from the heart. Then the devotee is established in goodness and he becomes completely happy.
Evam prasanna manaso bhagavad bhakti yogatah bhagavat tattva vijnanam mukta sangasya jayate.
Thus established in the mode of unalloyed goodness, the man whose mind has been enlivened by contact with devotional service to the Lord gains positive scientific knowledge of the personality of Godhead in the stage of liberation from all material association.
Vidyate hridaya granthesh chidyante sarva samshayah kshiyante chasya karmani drishta evatmanishvare.
Thus the knot in the heart is pierced and all misgivings are cut to pieces. The chain of fruitive actions is terminated when one sees the self as master.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna Hare Hare, Hare Rama Hare Rama, Rama Rama Hare Hare.
Oh. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Prabhupada, 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 Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya
Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Namachar Haridas Thakur Ki Jai, Prem Sagaha Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Prabhu Nityananda Siddhvaita Gadadhar Swasti Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jai, Sri Sri Radhakrishna Gopa Govinda Shyama Kunda Radhakrita Giri Govardhan Ki Jai, Sri Vrindavan Dham Ki Jai, Navadvip Dham Ki Jai, Ganga Jamuna Tulsi Bhakti Devi Ki Jai, Ananda Koti Vaishnava Vrinda Ki Jai, Samaveta Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jai, Gopremanandi. All glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Guru and Sri Guranga, all glories to Srila Prabhupada. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Niti Navane Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Prasadande Nirvishesha Shunyavani Paschachade Shatarane Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Shrivasani Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Read from Srimad Bhagavatam Canto 10 Chapter 64, verse 1. Shri Badaraya Niruvacha Ikadopavanam Rajan Jagmur Yadukumaraka Bihartam Samba Pradumna Charubanu Gadadaya Relation Sri Badarai, and he said, O King, one day Samba, Pradumna, Charu, Banu, Gada, and other young boys of the Yadu dynasty went to a small forest to play. Purport, Sridhar Swami states that the story of King Nriga narrated in this chapter is meant to give sober instructions to all proud kings. Through this incident, Lord Krishna also gave serious lessons to the members of his own family, who had become proud of their opulences. Text 2, after playing for a long time, they became thirsty. As they searched for water, they looked inside a dry well and saw a peculiar creature. The boys were astonished to behold this creature, a lizard, who looked like a hill. They felt sorry for it and tried to lift it out of the well. They caught on to the trapped lizard with leather thongs and then with woven ropes, but still they could not lift it out. So they went to Lord Krishna and excitedly told him about the creature. Purport, Shridhar Goswami explains that because in this chapter the Yadu boys, even Sri Pradyumna, are described as quite young, this must be an early pastime. The lotus-eyed Supreme Lord, maintainer of the universe, went to the well and saw the lizard. Then, with his left hand, he easily lifted it out. Touched by the hand of the glorious Supreme Lord, the being at once gave up its lizard form and assumed that of a resident of heaven. His complexion was beautifully colored like molten gold, and he was adorned with wonderful ornaments, clothes, and garlands. Lord Krishna understood the situation, but to inform people in general, he inquired as follows, "Who are you, O greatly fortunate one? Seeing your excellent form, I think you must surely be an exalted demigod. By what past activity were you brought to this condition? It seems you did not deserve such a fate. O good soul, we are eager to know about you, so please inform us about yourself, if that is, you think this is the proper time and place to tell us." Sukadeva Goswami said, "Thus questioned by Krishna, whose forms are unlimited, the king, his helmet as dazzling as the sun, bowed down to Lord Madhava and replied as follows. King Nirgas said, "Now I am a king known as Nirga, the son of Ikshvaku. Perhaps, Lord, you have heard of me when lists of charitable men were recited. Report, the Acharyas point out that although a tentative expression is used, perhaps you have heard of me, the implication is that there is no doubt. What could possibly be unknown to you, O Master? With vision undisturbed by time, you witness the minds of all living beings. Nevertheless, on your order, I will speak. Purport, since the Lord knows everything, there is no need to inform him about anything. Still, to fulfill the Lord's purpose, King Nirga will speak. I gave in charity as many cows as there are grains of sand on the earth, stars in the heaven, or drops in a rain shower. Purport, the idea here is that the king gave innumerable cows in charity. Young, brown, milk-laden cows who were well-behaved, beautiful, endowed with good qualities, who were all acquired honestly, who had gilded horns, silver-plated hoofs, and decorations of fine ornamental clothes and garlands. Such were the cows, along with their calves, that I gave in charity. I first honored the brahmanas who were recipients of my charity by decorating them with fine ornaments. Those most exalted brahmanas whose families were in need were young and possessed of excellent character and qualities. They were dedicated to truth, famous for their austerity, vastly learned in the Vedic scriptures, and saintly in their behavior. I gave them cows, land, gold, and houses, along with horses, elephants, and marriageable girls with maidservants, as well as sesame, silver, fine beds, clothing, jewels, furniture, and chariots. In addition, I performed Vedic sacrifices and executed various pious welfare activities. Once, a cow belonging to a certain first-class brahmana wandered away and entered my herd. Unaware of this, I gave that cow in charity to a different brahmana. Purport, Srila Sridhar Swami explains the term dvija mukhya, first-class brahmana, here indicates a brahmana who has stopped accepting charity and would thus refuse to accept even 100,000 cows in exchange for the cow that had been improperly given away. When the cow's first owner saw her being led away, he said, "She is mine." The second brahmana who had accepted her as a gift replied, "No, she's mine. Nirga gave her to me." As the two brahmanas argued, each trying to fulfill his own purpose, they came to me. One of them said, "You gave me this cow." The other said, "But you stole her from me." Hearing this, I was bewildered. Finding myself in a terrible dilemma concerning my duty in the situation, I humbly entreated both the brahmanas. "I will give 100,000 of the best cows in exchange for this one. Please give her back to me. Your good self should be merciful to me, your servant. I did not know what I was doing. Please save me from this difficult situation, or I'll surely fall into a filthy hell." The present owner of the cow said, "I don't want anything in exchange for this cow, O king," and went away. The other Brahmin declared, "I don't even want 10,000 more cows than you are offering," and he too went away. Purport. And Krishna's Supreme Personality of God, Srila Prabhupada, comments, thus disagreeing with the king's proposal, both Brahmanas left the palace in anger, thinking that their lawful position had been usurped. O Lord of Lords, O Master of the Universe, the agents of Yamaraj, taking advantage of the opportunity thus created, later carried me to his abode. There Yamaraj himself questioned me. Purport. According to the Acharyas, the king's performance of fruit of activities had previously been flawless, but now an inadvertent discrepancy had arisen, and so when the king died, the Yamadutas took him to the abode of Yamaraj called Sanyamani. Yamaraj said, "My dear king, do you wish to experience the results of your sins first or those of your piety? Indeed, I see no end to the dutiful charity you have performed or to your consequent enjoyment in the radiant heavenly planets." I replied, "First, my lord, let me suffer my sinful reactions." And Yamaraj said, "Then fall." At once I fell, and while falling, I saw myself becoming a lizard. O master. So, this begins the story of King Nirga. And we see here that he was a famous king, the son of Ikshvaku. So he came in this great line of authoritative kings, appointed by the Supreme Lord to rule over the earth and establish Dharma. So he was very absorbed in giving charities. Giving in charity is the one of the characteristics of a kshatriya. He likes to give. And especially the king should be an example of giving. And particularly, the king will give to the worthy persons. So one of the most worthy persons is the Brahmana. So here it describes how he would give so many wonderful things to the Brahmanas. And in this way, the Brahmanas could be independent. They didn't have to get outside jobs or anything like that. They could simply pursue their spiritual activities. And of course, he also gave cows, which is considered to be one of the greatest gifts that one can give. He was doing his duty as far as a king is concerned, and moreover, he was quite absorbed in this giving and charity. So in one sense, there's nothing wrong with that, because he was acting as a king and acting according to Dharma. However, we see in this case that not intentionally, but by mistake, he offered the same cow twice. So he offered the cow that he had given to one Brahmana, he offered the same cow to another Brahmana. And the result was that both Brahmanas claimed the cow, and they both became very disturbed, and they wouldn't accept the mistake of the king at all. And they became very angry and stubborn. And as a result of that disturbance to the Brahmanas, the king became a lizard after he had died and went to Yamaraj. So what this illustrates is that the punyas that one performs, generally they take one to upper planets. And here Yamaraj explains that because of all your pious activities, you will enjoy very nicely in Swarga Loka or higher. But then, he also committed this mistake. And therefore, he has to suffer for that mistake by becoming the lizard. So, the message here is that punyas are good for attaining material comforts in this life and next life. At the same time, we do have to suffer the results of our sinful activities. Therefore, we never have a perfect existence. In this case, he would take birth as a lizard, and then he could enjoy later on his good results. So, nevertheless, there's a mixture of results. The other point is that not only is karma always mixed, there's never a perfect karma in the material world. We see even Brahma has an end to his life, so he has to suffer in one sense. So, besides that, the lesson that is taught here is that no matter how perfectly we do things, unintentionally still, we can make a mistake. Now, of course, intentionally we can make mistakes also because we're imperfect. But even if we don't intend to make mistakes, still, it can happen due to the nature of this material world. And this can cause problems. And in this case, two brahmanas got very disturbed by his mistake. And consequently, he had to suffer. So no matter how perfect we try to be, still, we cannot get perfect happiness in this material world. You can try by material means, you can try by following scripture like this, and even if you follow and set a very good example like this king who was so absorbed in doing pious activities according to scripture that he thought he was doing everything perfectly, still, mistake can be there because it's the material world. Therefore, even if it was unintentional, he had to suffer some result for that. Now, of course, we can argue, well, it was unintentional, so why did he have to become a lizard of all things? So we can answer, well, it was unintentional, but this disturbance that was caused was quite extreme because two brahmanas got affected, very, very disturbed by him. And therefore, he had to suffer because of that. If it had been other living entities, it would not be so problematic. For instance, if we accidentally kill a bug or something, then we simply do the Pancha Mahayagyas every day and we're absolved of that. But we don't have to go to hell because we killed an ant or a fly or something like that. We just do Pancha Mahayagya every day and we're absolved. But he had done so many pious activities after he had made this mistake and the brahmanas became angry. But it didn't wipe out the effect of this. One of the reasons is because it involves the highest human being, that is the brahmana, within the varnashram system. And thus, he had to get a very severe effect for his mistake. So therefore, the lesson we learn is that no matter how perfect we try to be in terms of doing pious activities and avoiding sin, there is possibility that and inevitability that we'll never get a perfect result. We always have to make some mistakes somewhere in this material world, and we have to suffer to some degree or the other. So remarkably, of course, he tried to do the best pious activities by honoring the brahmanas. But accidentally, he also offended the brahmanas, and therefore he got a worse result for that as well. He got a very bad result for that. So, the reactions that we get for our activities can be very unpredictable. So we have to be very careful of that in the material world. So overall, from hearing this story, we find that doing pious activities is no guarantee for happiness in this material world. Because even if we do things what we think are perfectly perfect, still, accidentally, we may offend somebody, and therefore, we have to suffer again. That, of course, is the material happiness we're speaking about here. So, in other words, the path of karma yoga and karma kanda is not perfect. It doesn't give perfect happiness. Now, of course, the karma kanda glorifies the path. And in fact, Jaimini has made a whole movement in the Karma Mimamsa philosophy to justify going to Svarga Loka. And there he says it is amrita, that it is eternal happiness in Svarga Loka by doing these punyas. But if we look at other parts of the Vedas and we understand, no, it is not eternal. You fall from that position. So even if you don't commit the sinful activities, and even if you go and get the resolve, Svargaloka, still it is not permanent. And you have to fall from that place eventually. So here we get an example. It wasn't perfect, so he couldn't even get to Svargaloka. He had to suffer as a lizard for one lifetime before he could go to Svargaloka. Other people may not become lizards, and they may go directly to Svargaloka, but even then, it's not permanent, it's temporary. There's a whole section of the Vedas dedicated to doing all these acts to go to upper planetary systems and get material happiness. And many people are attracted to those processes and to that goal of getting happiness on Svargaloka. But a more intelligent person will understand that even if we get there, it is not permanent. So therefore, it is not a perfect solution to life. And that is why the Karmakanda section of the Vedas gets rejected ultimately. Now it is there to encourage people who are attached to material things and don't have a spiritual goal at all. But for those who are more intelligent, give up this process and they try to stop the process of birth and death in the material world. So they take to Jnana Kanda, Jnana Yoga, or Bhakti Yoga. And this way they get released from the material world. So, in the material world, the kings are setting an example, so they follow their duties as kshatriya, and they do this charitable work, etc., as part of their job, in order to sustain the society and set an example for others, and show detachment from material wealth. But these kings also are in a special position because they're appointed by the Supreme Lord. So not only do they enact dharma, but they should also set an example of bhakti, just as the devas does, though they are usually famous for enjoying and whatever. They're appointed by the Lord, and they also have to be qualified with devotion. And of course, we understand Brahma is the greatest devotee in the material world. Similarly, these kings, though they may get involved in pious activities, still, they also have to have this other perspective, that is devotion. So it's not about attaining Svargaloka or anything like that. It's about attaining eternal happiness with the Supreme Lord in the spiritual world. So a king who doesn't understand that and gets absorbed in the activities like King Nirga is actually not fulfilling his proper duty. He has to see both aspects. And we see that in the case of persons like the Pandavas, who they did their activities as kings and rulers. At the same time, they understood that the real goal is to please the Supreme Lord. That is the highest goal of all. So such leaders and kings are in a much higher position than the kings who simply get absorbed in these types of activities. We see the case of King Prashnabarhi also. He was also absorbed in sacrifices and things like that, especially animal sacrifices. So Narada Muni had to come and lecture him and tell him that this was all useless. And actually he would suffer for doing all these sacrifices. Therefore, the real king should not just set an example of doing charitable works or doing sacrifices and whatnot and following Karmakanda. He has to balance that by seeing there's a higher goal also. So he must set an example of bhakti as well as karma. For the people in general. Unfortunately, this king was too absorbed in the material karmas, that is, punyas. And therefore, we have an illustration here of what happens. Too much absorption in this can cause suffering. And so, King Nirga became a lizard. Well, we also see here that when Lord Krishna touched him, then he went out of that. The whole curse was finished at that point. By contact with the Supreme Lord, then he was released from that karma. Yeah. So this illustrates that the process of bhakti is much stronger than anything else. It can do much more. In spite of his punyas, he could not prevent himself from becoming a lizard. But when the Lord touched him, he was immediately free from that bad karma. So therefore, worship of the Supreme Lord is a much safer process for everybody to avoid unfortunate circumstances like falling into a lizard body due to making a mistake about doing charities or whatever in the material world. In the Bhagavatam it is said that even if one neglects one's activities in terms of karmas, karma kanda, karma yoga, varnashram, if he worships the Supreme Lord, nothing is lost. But if he gets absorbed in his karmas and doesn't worship the Lord, everything is lost. So he cannot prevent this situation of becoming King Nriga, becoming a lizard. He cannot prevent that if we're simply absorbed in karmas. If we worship the Lord, then we're safe from all these situations. And in the case of Bhagavatam, it says, even if he rejects his duties in karma yoga, intentionally, he doesn't do these activities. Even then, he doesn't have to suffer. Here is accidental neglect, and thus he offended a brahmana. But even intentionally, the devotee doesn't do the activities of karmakanda. Still, he is not to blame if he is worshipping the Supreme Lord. So everything is covered. So that is also what is meant at the end of the Bhagavad Gita, where Krishna says, Sarva Dharman Parijaja. Give up all other dharmas and simply worship the Lord. And he says, don't fear. Have no worry. Ma suchaha. Why should we worry? We may worry that if we give up all these dharmas, then we become sinful and that we have to suffer for that. No, opposite. We surrender to the Lord and that takes care of everything. No more sinful reactions. No sinful reaction even for the sins committed afterwards, and no sinful reaction for neglecting to do those particular karmas, like charities and what. So the Lord says, don't worry. You're absolved of those sinful reactions. Therefore, this story is told to illustrate that. Another aspect of the story is that this involved brahmanas. It was because of the brahmanas that the king had to suffer. Technically speaking, if there were brahmins who were properly qualified, why would they get angry? Why would they refuse to take the cow? Why would they put the king into problem? So a proper brahmana is very unattached to material assets and gifts that he gets or whatever, usually he gives them away again. So why these brahmanas were so attached? Why were they so stubborn? Why did they get angry at the king for making a mistake? So this also points out that even the brahmanas were not very perfect. The higher duty, though at the end we'll find as a whole praise the brahmanas and how one should serve the brahmanas, etc. Actually, higher than that is service to the Vaishnavas. So if the king wants to do charity works, then better to serve the Vaishnavas than just the brahmanas. Better to do something which pleases the Vaishnavas, and then he gets not just punya, but he gets spiritual effect, advancement in bhakti. So that's higher than charitable work for the brahmanas. So a king can do charities and so many things, but better that he does them in such a way that is connected with Supreme Lord.
And so if he does charity work to the Vaishnavas, even it's much, much better. And in this way, you get much better result. And any fault within the process is absolved by the Supreme Lord Himself. So it's a much safer process to follow. So these are some of the lessons we learned from this particular story of the King Nriga.
Maharaj, we see this Putana is a demoness. When she is touched by Krishna, she gets spiritual world. And this king, particular king, is a pious king, but he gets back to these heavenly benefits or something. Yeah. Why would it happen, Maharaj, like that?
Well, of course, Putana is a very exceptional case. Others, they get mukti or whatever like that. Some cases we see they get just another glorious body, like who was it, the Gandharva, king of the Gandharvas in a snake body, who tried to swallow Nanda Maharaj, then he went back to his heavenly body again also. So according to the particular situation of that person, then they get various benedictions. Some don't get a liberation immediately. They may just get back to their previous position, and later on they can get liberation because of the association of the Lord or whatever. So according to the situation, they get some good result, though it may not always be direct liberation or going to the spiritual world.
When Krishna asked him to introduce himself to himself, it appears there also he continues to have a kind of, apparently looks like he has pride when he makes his presentation introducing himself. Is there a reason for that? When he said, my donations were to this extent, as much particles of sand or so much of drops of water, which means there appears to be an apparent pride when he makes a presentation, even after a tribute.
Well, that is a tendency within charitable works, that we get attached to doing charities, and then we measure our charities in terms of our amounts, which is not actually the best thing to do, because the main thing about charity is not the amounts. Because a poor man, he cannot do so much charity. That does not mean that he's less than a king if he cannot do so much charity in terms of, you know, amounts. It's actually the mood of the person in doing so. So, of course, because he is a king, it's expected that he would give huge amounts. So, nothing wrong with that. But if he happens to become competitive and tries to do more and more charity than anybody else in the material world simply to be number one, then it's a matter of pride, which is also a fault. So therefore, that has to be avoided as well in doing charitable works. Of course, kings by nature, kshatriyas by nature, have a sense of pride and whatever, so we can say probably they cannot avoid it to some degree. But it becomes dangerous also.
But again, this Brahmanas, we understand they are not so exalted, but still the effect on Riga is so much. We see, I mean, they were not, because generally by Brahmanas nature, they would have been merciful, forgiven and all that.
Yeah.
But Maharaj mentioned that they are not so exalted. But yeah, Still the impact on Riga is so much.
Yeah. So, therefore, from that we should understand that the Brahmana also has to be very careful. And the result of becoming angry or whatever then has very serious effects on the person. And if they don't understand that, then they're also considered at fault because of that. Scripture itself praises the Brahmana, and then if you commit offense against the Brahmana, then you have to suffer greatly. So more or less, it's going by scripture here, that because they were disturbed, therefore he got this very bad result. One shouldn't disturb a Brahmana. Just as unintentionally disturbing a Vaishnava also has an effect, an unavoidable effect of decreasing one's bhakti. But it's not as serious as the intentional type of Brahman. But here the Brahmanas actually, which doesn't really mention, but perhaps they weren't aware of the serious effect that their anger, their refusal had. Which means, in one sense, they were not the most intelligent persons also, even though they were Brahmanas. So just to become angry itself indicates they were not the highest type of Brahman also.
Is there any specific significance in terms of getting a specific lizard body, Maharaj? Lizard. What is the significance of getting a specific lizard? Is there any significance on that? Lizard body, lizard.
Lizard. That's not already mentioned. It's just that Yamaraj gave that particular body of a lizard, I suppose. I don't know.
And so we see here this King Nigar, although he understood his mistake later that he did not the same code twice and he asked forgiveness, still he could not get relief from his offense. So how do you understand about this? Even once asked forgiveness also, so he cannot get relief from the offense, can you say?
From
the offense, because he offended Brahmana.
Yeah,
but
and the Brahmanas wouldn't accept any solution. They wouldn't. They refused to accept cow. They refused everything.
But it is a problem between the two Brahmanas, not the King Nriga. They could have.
But he was the cause, because he gave the cow twice, but and they wouldn't accept a solution. So he disturbed two Brahmanas in the process.
But it was unintentional, not intentionally. He did it.
So it shows that even unintentional sin has an effect.
But what about the devotees then? Those who are knowingly committing offense as well as unknowingly.
Effect. Of course, aparadhas, unintentional or intentional, are more serious than intentional or unintentional sins. So, the sins themselves are not so significant, and therefore Krishna says, even if you commit the most sinful activity, you're still my devotee. And so therefore, no real problem. But, he doesn't say that about aparadhas. So, aparadhas are more serious than sins, whether it's intentional or unintentional, because they affect the bhakti. And unintentional sins, of course, are less. They affect less. Intentional sins will more seriously create obstacles for the bhakti.
So, in the case of Nigo, can you say this is sin or this is aparadham?
Sin.
This is sin.
Yeah.
But he became the cause for the disturbance.
In the sense that he was the cause of the disturbance, the Brahmanas becoming upset, that's all. Not that he deliberately wanted to disturb them, he was trying to please them all, but he made a mistake and they both became disturbed, and consequently he had to suffer the result for that mistake.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. Maharaj, we see that sometimes this seems very extreme cases, like this punishment or this period is very long for a small unintentional mistake he did. For that he was suffering a very long period inside the well as lizard.
Well, I don't know how long the lizard lived, but it was probably, we can say, we don't think it's so severe, but because there was a Brahmana, or two Brahmanas, they got disturbed. That was the problem. If it had been lesser people, less effect. Maybe he'd only be a human being in a lower body or something like that. Because it was two Brahmanas got very disturbed, therefore he got greater effect. Which it shows in the system of karma that the Brahmanas are higher, the highest human being, and therefore offense against them gives greater reaction.
And my question is that, Maharaj, now this Vaishnavas, we see that Vaishnavas also get anger sometime while we are dealing with them. And unintentionally, they are very soft in nature, comparing to even the Brahmanas. Vaishnavas are very soft, and due to that, they may feel very easily offended. While dealing, sometime...
Offended. Well, if the Vaishnava feels offended, it doesn't mean he's really soft. If he's really soft, he's humbler than a blade of grass, then he will feel no offense. So he may be tolerant in one sense, but he may have some pride also, which causes the offense, maybe.
Yes, Maharaj.
Why are the pastimes of Bhagavatam not presented in chronology? One explanation is that Sukadev was in such joy that sometimes he didn't do things in the proper chronology. Banasura is the son of Bali who appeared in different yuga. How is it possible? Well, they can. Yeah, Bali appeared, which was seventh Manvantara or something in Vaivasvata Manvantara, the seventh yuga cycle or something like that, I think, quite early. And then Banasura was his son. So they can live for long periods of time, much longer than us. I don't know about Bali was, I think, seventh. Rama is 24th. We're 28th. So I think Vamana was in seventh or something, seventh cycle.